Well, good morning. Welcome on this beautiful rainy Friday morning. I'm glad that you showed up. And I always enjoy my role at the university. I travel around and preach and speak in churches. And so it's nice when there's one right in my backyard to show up to. So it is great to be here with you. So many memories, not of this place, but I grew up on a campground in eastern Kentucky called Mount Hope Campground in Flemingsburg, Kentucky, that had open-air chapels back in the day, sawdust floors. We finally got concrete, and with cabins, and I was formed and shaped by spending summers at Mount Hope Campground. So I know how important these days are and these weeks are for families and the generations together and the teens and the kids together. God does work all the time, but when we separate ourselves and come and be at a place like this, sometimes I think we tune our hearts and ears maybe just a little bit more than what we do in other times in our life, and I think God shows up in special places like this to do great work. I didn't realize this until last year when I spoke, and my mom told me. She even has a picture of my grandparents that used to come to Camp Syker. They lived in Bucyrus, Ohio, and would come down here, and just kind of a full circle moment when I told her I was coming to preach, and she said, well, your grandparents, when they were young newlyweds and young parents would come and attend here. And so it's good to be with you. If you have your Bibles or your devices, we'll be here in just a moment. We're not going to jump in just right yet, but we're going to be in John chapter 4 today. Give you a chance to get there before we actually read the scripture. But something that I've been wrestling with in my own life as a pastor, I was a pastor for 25 years and now have been in this role at the university for a year and a half. And the culture that we live in, something that I've been wrestling with is as the church and as Christ followers, this issue with grace and truth. I don't know if you know this or not, but we live in a time and a culture where we need people who are full of grace and truth. And so I've been wrestling with this, and I've learned quickly, maybe not so quickly, but in my marriage, this idea of grace and truth and this idea of this tension, is this a tension to live with or is it a problem to solve? When I was newly married, my wife would come to me with a problem or an issue, and I, like any normal husband would do, I would just quickly try to solve that problem for her. And she would always get upset with me. And I'm thinking, well, you brought this problem to me. I gave you a great solution. Why are you getting upset with me? And I quickly learned there were times in our marriage where she would come to me and she didn't need me to solve her problem. She just wanted me to listen. Can anybody relate to that a little bit? So I finally learned, which helped our marriage significantly, when she came to me and wanted to talk, I would quickly ask, is this something that you want me to help you with, or do you just want me to listen? And then she would say, I need your help, or I just need you to listen. And it solved so many issues in our marriage. And I think this is maybe something that we're dealing with in the church and as Christ followers, this issue of grace and truth. And I think sometimes it's a problem that we're trying to solve, and maybe it's an issue that or a tension that we need to manage. Because grace and truth, whether we want to acknowledge it or not, grace and truth, you and I naturally lean towards one or the other. It's not right or wrong. I think it's probably some of it's made up in our DNA, how we are as people. Some of us are very black and white and are very good at speaking truth into people's lives, and we lean towards truth more than we do grace. Some of us, our first inclination to people is you always give them grace and you always say, you know, I've been there, I've been struggling with that, I know what they're going through, and you will offer grace more than you would speak truth into someone's life. We naturally lean towards one or the other. You see, truth says that you're accountable. Grace would say that you are forgiven. Truth says that you have a problem. Grace says you and I are broken. Truth says work on it. Grace says it's going to be okay. Truth says you blew it. Grace says I love you anyway. And all of us have a tendency, and I think in our churches we have a tendency to lean one way or the other, to be truth-oriented or grace-oriented. And I would suggest today that this necessarily isn't a problem to solve, but maybe a tension for us to live into as Christ followers. Now, if you can think back to when you were growing up, most homes had a parent that was grace-oriented and a parent that was truth-oriented. And you say, well, how do I know which one of my parents was grace-oriented or which one was truth-oriented? I tell it like this. When you got in trouble and you knew that you were going to get in trouble, which parent would you go to first? Most of you know immediately who you went to, your mom or dad first. The parent you went to first, that was the grace-oriented parent, because you know the discipline would have been a little bit less severe than the truth-oriented parent. The second question is this: who did you go to when one of your siblings got in trouble? You didn't go to the grace-oriented parent, you went to the truth-oriented parent because you wanted them to get everything they had coming. And I would have to admit, too, that even in parenting in our own homes today, and me being a parent now of college-age kids and a senior in high school, there is a parent that they go to when they get in trouble, and then there's a parent that they try to avoid or they will go to if their siblings are in trouble. I'm not going to tell you today whether I'm the grace-filled parent or the truth-filled parent. You'll have to figure that out on your own. But John 1:14 reminds us, we're going to be in John chapter 4, but John 1:14 reminds us this. It says this: the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, and He was full of what? Grace and truth. I think it's important for us to realize this morning that when Scripture talks about Jesus being full of grace and truth, it wasn't 50% grace, 50% truth. Scripture says He was full of grace and truth, 100% full of grace, 100% full of truth. Now, when I was a pastor, I would warn people when I was going to step on their toes a little bit. And really, it's not me stepping on toes. I think the Holy Spirit does that. But I get to come in and preach and then leave, so I don't really have to worry about stepping on toes this morning. But I think it's important for us to give perspective of, if we would align ourselves with truth-oriented Christians, we're heavy on the truth and little on the grace, we would say this: truth-oriented Christians tend to know their doctrine and they know right from wrong. Truth-oriented Christians tend to lean heavily on everything is black and white and there is no gray area whatsoever. Truth-oriented Christians can lose their kids sometimes because they are turned off by their parents' judgmental attitude towards others. Truth-oriented Christians almost always tend to think that people misread them. And truth-oriented Christians often tend to be divisive and prideful. What about grace-oriented Christians? Those who lean towards grace and don't want to step into the truth category. Grace-oriented Christians tend to make tough decisions based on feelings and hope and not on truth. Grace-oriented Christians can tend to struggle with truth because they themselves don't even know the truth. Grace-oriented Christians tend to wrap their arm around their friend who is getting ready to take their last step off of a cliff and will let them instead of giving them biblical instruction. Grace-oriented Christians sometimes enable people to keep sinning in their desire to love them. And sometimes grace-oriented Christian parents can lose their children to sinful lifestyles because they don't want to be viewed as too strict. So which one are you? None of us are perfect. None of us are full of grace and truth. But Jesus shows a beautiful reality of living in this tension and showing how grace and truth needs to be applied and lived out in ordinary life. And so we find our scripture today in John chapter 4, very familiar with many of you if you've grown up in the church, the story of woman at the well. And we're going to start in John chapter 4, verses 4, and we're going to just kind of work through this together today when it comes to grace and truth. John chapter 4, verses 4 through 9 says this. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus tired from a long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. And soon, a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. And she said to Jesus, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" And so we see that Jesus, the first part of this story, breaks cultural barriers and extends grace to this woman. He chooses to rest at the well. The Samaritan woman comes and draws water, and Jesus is breaking all cultural norms, and he actually speaks to her. In Jesus' time, if you know anything about this time, that Jews and Samaritans had a deep animosity towards one another. The fact that Jesus engages not only a Samaritan, but a Samaritan woman, a social outcast due to both her gender and her ethnicity, shows us immediately Jesus' grace in action. He leads with grace. I think it's important to remember that Jesus leads with grace, and Jesus doesn't exclude her. Jesus doesn't exclude people based on their past, on their race, on their societal label. The good news for each of us this morning that we can take from the story is that Jesus will always meet us where we are. Regardless of our sin or our shame, he offers us the grace to be known, to be accepted, to be loved. The very fact that Jesus initiates the conversation with this woman speaks of his grace. He seeks us out, even when society might overlook us. Continuing on to verse 10, Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water." "But sir, you don't even have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you are greater than our ancestor Jacob who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoy?" And Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give them will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." Again, Jesus offers grace to the Samaritan woman. Jesus speaks of living water, offering the woman a gift that would satisfy her thirst forever. You see, Jesus doesn't just give her water. He offers her a deeper satisfaction, a spiritual satisfaction. Jesus is actually offering himself to this woman. The living water is a metaphor for the Holy Spirit, who, when received, fills the deepest longings of our life. Jesus offers this to her, meaning that he is offering his grace to her. She has nothing to offer him, and yet he is offering himself to her. This is grace embodied. Jesus offers us the only thing that can truly quench your thirst and my thirst. He offers us himself. I don't know about you, but the world offers many things and advertises many things that will offer and bring a quenching for your thirst. But if you're like me, you've tried many things in this world, and nothing will quench your thirst like Jesus. So the question for us this morning is, are we drinking from wells of the world, or are we seeking the living water that only he can provide? Continue on to verse 15. "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water, then I will never be thirsty again and I won't have to come here to get water." Jesus says, "Go and get your husband." "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. Jesus said, "You're right. You don't have a husband For you have had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth. Do you see what Jesus is doing here? He leads with grace, but loves the woman enough to speak truth into her life. And so we see the truth come out in Jesus. The woman is intrigued by the living water, even asks for it. And Jesus, in his love and his grace and truth, gently but firmly reveals the reality of her life to her. I think it's important to realize Jesus actually doesn't condemn her. He simply speaks the truth about her life to her. He doesn't ignore her past, but he uses it to lead her into a deeper understanding of her need for him. Truth may be uncomfortable. Truth is uncomfortable when we need to share it with someone. Truth is uncomfortable when someone shares truth for us in our life, but it's necessary for transformation. Jesus speaks truth to the woman, not to shame her. This is the difference. Jesus speaks truth into this woman's life, not to shame her, but to actually free her. And he calls us to do the same, to face the truth about our lives, to face the truth about our sin and our need for his grace. And it's so important for each of us this morning. Only when we acknowledge the truth can we experience the full weight of his grace that brings true freedom. Continue on in verse 25. The woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us. And then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. His announcement to the world that he was the Messiah. The woman, after hearing the truth of her life, begins to see Jesus for who he truly is. You see, the truth of Jesus' identity is central to the story of Scripture. The woman is not just receiving grace, but she is encountering the truth of the Messiah, of the Savior, right in that moment. And Jesus reveals himself to us in the same way, full of grace and truth in our moments of need. And when we come to know the truth of who he is, that he is our Savior, that he is our Redeemer, that he is our Messiah as well, it changes, or it should change, everything about us. You see, grace and truth go hand in hand. Grace leads us to encounter the truth, and truth reveals to us the depth of the grace that Jesus has for each of us. Do you see how they work hand in hand? Jesus was full of both. And then we see grace and truth in action, what it does to us, what it does to the woman in this story. In John chapter 4, 28 through 30, it says this. The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the village to see them. See, not only does Jesus offer her grace and speak truth into her life, but she sees that her life can be transformed by the person who told me everything that I have ever done. The encounter with Jesus is so transformative that she can't keep it to herself. And our relationship with Jesus Christ should be so transformative that it should be able to spread to everyone that we come in contact with. Her life is forever changed by the grace and truth that she has encountered. So I think it's so important for us to hear this morning. The more that I study Scripture, and I started out this message this morning that I think grace and truth should be a tension that we wrestle with, and the more that I study Scripture, I don't think Jesus came to strike a balance between grace and truth, because Scripture says that he brought the full measure of both. You see, grace and truth, one without the other is toxic. It's been said that if we offend everybody, we are emphasizing truth at the expense of grace. It's also been said, if we offend no one, we are watering down the truth in the name of grace. In fact, we see this in this particular story. Jesus never dumbed down the truth, but he never dialed back the grace either. And so he gives us the example of how to live our lives. It's not something that we have to be one or the other, but Jesus gives us the full measure of both. This is how to live your life. There are going to be moments in your life where grace is needed. There's going to be moments in your life where you're going to need to speak the truth and love in someone's life. I love this quote by Randy Alcorn. He says this, unfortunately, many non-believers only know two kinds of Christians. Those who speak the truth without grace, and those who are very nice but never share the truth. What they need to see is a third type of Christian. One who, in a spirit of grace, loves them enough to tell them the truth. When I was a pastor in Northern Kentucky, my wife and I started a church there and was the pastor there for 16 years. I'll never forget a Sunday morning when a lady by the name of Anita came to me, and she had been coming to church, and she had been living in a lifestyle that was not pleasing to the Lord. And she came to me after one Sunday service, and she said, "Pastor, do you mind if I speak to you for a moment?" And I said, "Of course, I'd love to speak to you." And I knew her story, and I knew probably what she was going to talk to me about. And so we started conversing back and forth, and she said, "Listen, I want you to know that what you shared today was biblical truth." And she said, "I've grown up in the church my whole life." And she said, "I grew up in a tradition of church where I always knew that the Lord wanted to save me. I always knew that. But since coming to this church and hearing the preaching and hearing the way that this church preaches the word," she's like, "I always heard that the Lord wanted to save me. This is the first time in my life that I've heard that the Lord actually wants to transform me." You see, grace and truth. We all love the idea that grace is free, and it is. We all love the idea of salvation, that God saves us. He loves us right where we are. But it's harder to accept the truth in our life when Jesus says, "Yes, I've saved you, but I love you so much, but I love you too much to keep you right where you are. I want to actually transform your life so your life looks like mine." That's a little bit more difficult. But you see, grace and truth, one without the other, cannot stand on its own. Truth without grace, listen to this, I've seen it in my own life, I've seen it in the church's life, I've seen it in people's life, and I've probably been guilty of it at times myself. Truth without grace crushes people. And it leads to rules and rebellion and ceases to be truth. But I've also seen grace without truth. And grace without truth deceives people and ceases to be grace. John chapter 1 reminds us that the Word became flesh and it dwelt among us, and he was full of grace and truth. I'm not a theological scholar by any means, but one thing that I notice about the life of Jesus, especially when he comes to people who are living in a life of sin, he always leads with grace. He always leads with grace first. But he loves them enough to not just leave them where they are, but to always speak truth into their life. Just like the woman at the well, just like the woman that was going to be stoned for her misdeeds. what does Jesus do first? He actually protects her and says to the Pharisees, you without the sin cast the first stone. He leads with grace. But what does he say to the woman as she gets up? Look at your accusers. No one is around anymore. Go and sin no more. Grace and truth. Like I said, as I keep studying and leaning into the ways of Jesus, I don't think grace and truth is a problem to solve or a tension to manage. Jesus didn't come to strike a balance. He came to be the full measure of both, Scripture says. So my question for all of us this morning is this. How are we doing? How well are we doing with loving people? And by that, I mean, how well are we doing with living out Jesus' call on our life to be full of grace and truth? Not just when it's convenient for us. How well are we loving those that society has said is unlovable and offering grace? And how are we doing when it comes time in our life where we know there are people in our lives that we need to speak the truth in love and we're afraid to do it because we don't want to hurt our relationship with someone? But yet, I believe God calls us not to condemn people, but to share truth so that they can experience the salvation and the true freedom that only comes in the grace and the truth of knowing Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask the musicians to come back and ask them to play whatever the Lord has laid on their heart. And maybe there's time, if you feel like the Lord wants to do a new work in your heart this morning or want to pray about any specific issues in your life, obviously these altars are always open. I'm going to pray for us. And as they sing, and if you want to come and pray, you're more than welcome. And then we'll come and close the service out. But God, thank you so much for your word to us today. We're reminded that it is living, that it is active, that it is sharper than a two-edged sword, that it pierces our hearts, that it shapes us and it molds us. And Lord, we confess today there's probably times in our own life where we have been so truth-oriented that we have erred on the side of truth and have not offered grace where it needs to be offered. And there's probably times where we have needed to speak truth into people's lives, and yet we've allowed people to make decisions that harm themselves and harm others because we are afraid to speak the truth in love. And so I pray in this moment, in this hour, that you would help us as your followers, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that it wouldn't be us living, but your Holy Spirit living in us to live out what you have lived out, to be a full measure of both grace and truth. I pray that you would help us today, and we'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.